إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فهذه نصائح أوجهها لأخواتي المسلمات اللاتي يعشن في بلاد الغرب، سواء كنا بنات أو زوجات أو أمهات أو جدات.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued and said, "Amma ba'd," you will be hearing inshaAllah a few words of advice before we begin with the questions and answer session. A few words of advice for the Muslim sister who is residing in the West, whether she has been raised here or not. Some words of advice for the young Muslim woman. Words of advice that are pertinent to the Muslim woman who is a wife or, and who is a mother and who is dealing and raising her children in these lands. So these few words of advice, they should be in general, inshallah, accepted and taken and adhered to. Now,
أول ما يجب على المرأة المسلمة أن تعلمه من أمور دينها أن تعلم أن الله عز وجل كلفها كالرجل بالتكاليف الشرعية، فهي داخلة في عموم قول الله عز وجل: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
The first point that the Sheikh Hafidhahullah wishes to address is that each Muslim woman is and sister is supposed to recognize and understand and therefore begin to seek to bring about a good implementation of this concept that she was created only for the sole purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing near Him. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means, "And I have neither created jinn nor mankind except that they worship Me."
وَأَنَّ لَهَا ثَوَابًا كَالرَّجُلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَعَدَهَا بِالْجَنَّةِ إِذَا هِيَ قَامَتْ بِمَا أَمَرَهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّهَا مِنْ حفظ فرجها من إطاعة زوجها، بل إن الله عز وجل أخبر على لسان نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذه المرأة التي هذه أوصافها إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت وحصنت فرجها وأطاعت بعلها يعني زوجها، قيل لها: ادخلي من أي أبواب الجنة شئتي.
The Sheikh Hafidhahullah continued and then said, after realizing that you were to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put this as a priority, that you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall reward you fittingly for it. For surely the reward of the Muslim woman in the end is al-Jannah, which is the same reward that is set in store for the Muslim man. And the Sheikh continued by saying, the promised reward is al-Jannah, is paradise. And this is due and deserved if the Muslim woman was to protect her chastity and obey her husband and be from those who are righteous in word and deed. The Sheikh Hafidhahullah narrates to us the authentic hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he says, if all that the Muslim woman did was pray her five daily prayers, fast her month, and guard her chastity and obey her husband, it shall be said to her, enter paradise from any of the gates that you choose or see fit.
قد بين الله عز وجل أن للمرأة مثل ما للرجل من الثواب ومن الجزاء الحسن إن هي عملت بشرع الله عز وجل واتبعت منهج الله. قال الله تعالى: ومن يعمل من الصالحات من ذكر أو أنثى فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. وقال الله تعالى: لا يضيع عمل عامل من ذكر أو أنثى بعضهم من بعض. فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى بعضكم من بعض.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah continued by mentioning that the woman recognizes, and it's recognized that her reward will be fitting and equal to that of the man. None are put forward before the other in the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If she obeys Allah and she adheres to the shara that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rectify the rest of humanity with. We see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who does righteous deeds, whether man or woman, we shall give him and allow him to live a good life. Also we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we do not misplace, meaning Allah does not misplace the deeds of a good person, and it is something that will be given and set in store for him as a reward. So all of these are proofs, and some others that the Sheikh mentioned are proofs that the woman is given the same type of precedence that the man given. She's given the same reward that a man is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the same level of adherence and acceptance.
وَلَقَدْ اعْتَنَى الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْأُنْثَى أَوْ بِالْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ تَخْرُجُ إِلَى هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ فقال الله عز وجل يهب لمن يشاء إناثا ويهب لمن يشاء البنين أو يزوجهم ذكرانا وإناثا ويجعل من يشاء عقيما فقدم الإناث على البنين وهذا يدل على أن المرأة أو البنت لها اعتبار في الشريعة الإسلامية حيث قدمها على الذكر وإن كان الناس ينظرون للذكر نظرة ويفرحون بقدومه أكثر من الأنثى لكن الله عز وجل قدم الإناث على الذكور ليبين لهم أن لا يتشاءموا بإن رزقوا بالبنات لأن فيهن الخير والبركة إن أحسن الرجل تأديبهن وتربيتهن تربية إسلامية ومن هنا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان له ابنتان فأدبهما فأحسن تأديبهما كانتا له سترا من النار وقد عاب الله عز وجل على أهل الجاهلية على العرب في الجاهلية أنهم كانوا يتشاءمون بالأنثى وإذا بشر أحدهم بالأنثى ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم يتوارى من القوم من سوء ما بشر به أيمسكه على هون أي على ذل وخضوع أم يدسه في التراب ألا ساء ما يحكمون والله عز وجل يقول وإذا الموءودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت فالإسلام أنقذ هذه البنت من الوأد بعد أن كان يعيدونها في الجاهلية وأعطاها الكرم الإنسانية وبين أنها هذه الأنثى ليست رجسا وليست شيطانة كما كانوا يتصورون عنها في القديم وفي القرون الوسطى في أوروبا وغيرها.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued by saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the woman a great deal of favor and has placed her in high esteem and in a high placement. And this is something that's clear in many places in the Quran and authentic traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From them, the Shaykh Hafizahullah gives us a small example from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in giving a family, a lineage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give them, as Allah says what means, Allah yahibu liman yasha, Allah gives to whom He wills female girls, and whom He wills male boys, and whom He wills He puts a mix between female and male, and whom He wills Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may allow them to remain infertile and be in a state where they cannot have children. Here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the girl before the male child. The female girl the female child before the male child. And this is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the scholars, the interpreters of the Qur'an have stated, as the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing that the Muslim woman is not to feel despair or at a loss, or to think that she is deficient in comparison or lower to that of a man, to the standard of a man. Rather, we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who raises two daughters or two girls, teaching them properly and having good, and teaches them properly, when he passes away and on the day of judgment, they shall be a screen for him from the fire. They shall be a screen for him from the fire. Also, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the sinful nature of the disbelievers and the polytheists when they would become angry and upset and saddened and sorrowful at the news that they, their wives gave birth to female children. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them that their faces would become darkened and they would turn away in a state of anger or being upset, wondering in a bewildered state, should he let her live or should he put her in the dirt and bury her alive. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that the female child who was placed in a state of infanticide, where she was murdered in a young age, soon as she was born and they saw that it was female, they would place her in the earth and bury her alive. On the day of judgment, she will ask for what purpose she was killed. All of these are proof to show that the status of the Muslim woman is elevated in the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown her great favor, especially those who adhere to the truth.
وأكثر الأنبياء عليهم السلام قد بكروا بالبنات والتبكير بالبنات يوجب أو رزق البنات أو إتيان البنات يوجب على الوالدين أن يضاعفوا العناية بهذه البنت وهذه الفتاة. وأهم ما يجب عليهم فعله أن يصونوا هذه البنت من الانحراف العقلي والأخلاقي، وأن يلقنوا، وخصوصا الأم، أن تعلم ابنتها العفة وأن تعلم ابنتها الحياء، لأن لكل أمة خلقا، لكل دين خلقا، وخلق الإسلام الحياء، والحياء هو زينة المرأة، وينبغي أن تعلم هذه الفتاة من صغرها الحياء، وأنها متى ما أصبحت مميزة مشتهى عند الرجال يجب عليها أن تلبس الحجاب وأن تبتعد عن مجالس الرجال وعن الاختلاط بالرجال وعن مصافحة الرجال وعن الخلوة بهم وعن السفر بلا محرم وعن الخضوع بالقول، ولا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض. وعلى المرأة المسلمة أن تجعل من نفسها قدوة لابنتها، لأن هذه البنت تنظر إلى أمها، فإذا كانت أمها عياذا بالله منحرفة فإن هذه البنت تتعلم من أمها الانحراف، وتكون هذه الأمة وتكون هذه الأم مصيبة ولعنة على ابنتها، وتكون سبب في انحراف بناتها. وكم من بنات انحرفنا بسبب انحراف أمهاتهن. فالمرأة الخراجة الولاجة التي تخرج كثيرا من بيتها ولا تجلس في بيتها ولا ترعى بيتها ولا ترعى أبنائها، هذه المرأة لم تقم بالأمانة التي ائتمنها الله عليها والتي أوجبها الله عز وجل أن ترعاها، عملا بقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued by saying, it is the responsibility of the parents of the Muslim woman to ensure her security and to ensure that she is given proper tutelage in Islamic manners and Islamic aqidah, and that they are to teach her, first and foremost, after the dictates of the faith, they are to teach her modesty, to teach her humility, to teach her to have a a shy attitude in dealing with others, to teach her to be in a state of humility and humbleness. And verily the Shaykh mentioned to us that every religion has a set of morals, and of the most important rule and morals of our religion of Al-Islam is that we have modesty and shyness, that we have humility and humbleness. And these are all things that will lead the Muslim woman to gain a strong structure when she grows up from the education she's given at a young age. And therefore it is the duty of the parents to teach her the shyness, so that when she grows to the age where she is going to be an object that is desired, or something that is desired by those who may encounter her, knowing nothing of her, then she is to recognize that to protect herself justified, and it is the proper thing to wear al-hijab, and that she is not to speak with false words, and to walk in a way that will attract the men and others to her. And that the mother is to be the role model of her daughter. She's to be her example, to be a person who her daughter can see the good deeds that she is striving to perform in action in front of her on a daily basis. And surely the Shaykh continued by saying, surely many have been changed from the true path, and many have been corrupted and led astray by the role models and by the examples whom they hold and they follow. So therefore it's important that the Muslim daughter has a Muslim mother whom she can ascribe herself to, model herself after, so that she will not fall prey to those who fall into error. The Shaykh then continued by saying, women who are accustomed to leaving their homes at the odd hours of the day and the night, and they do not like to stay in their home and be in the company of their family, this is not the proper role model that the young Muslim girl is to grow up knowing and experiencing in her home.
على الأم المسلمة أن تعلم أبنائها وخصوصا بناتها تعظيم نساء السلف، تعظيم أمهات المؤمنين نساء الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن تلقن بناتها سيرة عائشة الصديقة وخديجة وحفصة وأم سلمة وغيرها من نساء الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام ونساء الصحابة، وأن تحبب إلى قلب ابنتها القدوة في هؤلاء النسوة اللاتي اختارهن الله عز وجل زوجات طاهرات لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، واختار الله عز وجل نساء الصحابة للصحابة الذين رضي الله عنهم والذين تربوا بين يدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فعليها أن تعظم في نفوس بناتها النساء الأوائل، لا أن تعظم في نفوس بناتها الممثلات والمغنيات والراقصات وعارضات الأزياء وغير ذلك، وتعظيم السلف الصالح رجالا ونساء من الدين، فالمرء يحشر مع من أحب، ومن أحب قوما حشر معهم. ولذلك على المرأة المسلمة أن تتشبه بنساء الصحابة، نساء السلف، في أخلاقها، في صيامها، في قيامها، في صلاتها، في ذكرها، في طاعتها لزوجها وتعظيمها لزوجها وبرها لزوجها، في قيامها على وظيفتها في بيتها. المرأة إذا لم تحترم زوجها، إن هذه البنت ابنتها لا يمكن أن تحترم زوجها، فالأم تكون قدوة لابنتها في احترامها لزوجها، فهذه البنت حينما تنتقل إلى بيت زوجها فإنها تتعلم من أمها احترام الزوج، لأن الزوج، احترام الزوج وبر الزوج من أسباب دخول الجنة. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: والله لا ترضي امرأة ربها حتى ترضي زوجها. وقال: لو كنت آمرا أحدا أن يسجد لغير الله لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها لعظم حقه عليها. أقول: تطيعه، تبره في طاعة الله لا في معصية الله، وهذا واجب عليها فيما هو فيه طاعة لله وليس فيه معصية لله. وفيما تقدر عليه إذ لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah continued by saying, the mothers must ensure and strive to teach their younger daughters and to teach the others from those who are younger than them the attitudes of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, to teach them their biographies and to teach them the prominent examples that they played and the role that they played in the spread of the religion of Islam. They are to remind them of the mothers of the believers, the likes of Khadija and Aisha and Hafsa, and to allow them to see this blessed model of the wives of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mothers must also strive to show them and to teach them the biographies and the lives of some of the prominent women from amongst the Sahaba, and to teach them this example and to take points from it so that they can be points that they can include in their own lives, in their outlook of life and so forth. And they are not to allow them any room into looking up to or taking as role models singers, actresses, models, and these types of people who are upon deviation that call people to other than the truth. And surely the Shaykh reminds us of the important statement that on the Day of Judgment we shall be gathered and placed with those whom we love the most. So therefore if the woman loves the most the likes of Khadija and Aisha and Hafsa, then she will be included amongst them. If she likes other than them, then she will be included amongst them. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah then continued by saying, it is important to note that a mother who disobeys her husband blatantly and openly in front of her daughter is in fact producing a new offspring, or producing an offspring that shall also continue in this sinful way. Because when the daughter sees the mother disobeying the husband, it is something that is taken as a natural occurrence and something that is acceptable. And therefore that will breed a daughter. When she is at the age of marriage and she is married, she will be of those who will disobey her husband in the same way. And surely the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, by Allah, wallahi, you cannot please Allah, you will never truly please Allah unless you please your husband first. And also we know that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I was to order that anyone was to prostrate, to make sujood to any other person, I would have deemed it valid for the man, for the woman to prostrate to her husband. All of these are showing you the importance of stressing the fact that the Muslim woman is to be a positive role model for her child, to teach you the proper attitude, that there is to be humbleness and humility and love and so forth. These are all important lessons.
ومن حفظ الإسلام للمرأة بنتا أن أمر بأن يختار لها الاسم الحسن، الاسم الصالح الذي يذكرها بنساء السلف، بزوجات الأنبياء الصالحات، بآسية، بعائشة، بخديجة، بمريم البتول العذراء، وأن يختار لها الزوج الصالح الذي يأخذ بيدها إلى طاعة الله، يذكرها إذا نسيت ويعينها على طاعة الله، ولا يكون سببا لورودها النار، فإن المرأة على دين زوجها، والزوج إن كان صالحا فإنه يكون سببا لدخول زوجته الجنة، وإن كان فاسدا فإنه يكون سببا لانحرافها وضلالها. ومن هنا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، رحم الله رجلا قام من الليل فأيقظ أهله فإن أبت نضح في وجهها الماء، ورحم الله امرأة قامت من الليل فأيقظت زوجها فإن أبى نضحت في وجهه الماء. ودخل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام طرق الباب على علي وفاطمة فوجدهما نائمين فقال لهما ألا تصليان. ومن هنا من السنة أن الرجل يصلي بزوجته ركعتين قبل أن يدخل بها حتى يعلمها الطاعة ويدربها على طاعة الله عز وجل وطاعته، وأن لا تتقدم عليه وأن لا تعلو عليه، لأن الرجال قوامون على النساء بالحق وليس بالظلم والتعسف. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه أمانة فزوجوه. إذا أتاكم من ترضون دينه أمانة فزوجوه إلا تفعلوا تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير أو عريض. فمن حقوق هذه الفتاة أن يلتمس لها الرجل الصالح طالب العلم صاحب العقيدة الصحيحة صاحب الخلق القويم الذي يأخذ بيدها إلى مرضاة الله وإلى جنة الله. وهذا من حقها على أهلها، حقها على أبويها، حقها على أمها.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued by saying that it is from the rights of the child that they are to be named with a good name. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called to. And therefore that the parents of the child must ensure that the name that they name their child is something that is a respectable name, a name that is something that will not be of hardship for them. And they are to ponder the beautiful names that are found in our faith. And the Shaykh mentions a few names and a few examples of the prominent women that are recorded through the Islamic eras, past and present. The Shaykh mentions to us the importance of knowing the biographies and knowing the names and having knowledge of Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and the struggles that she went through to maintain her faith in face of the tyranny of Pharaoh, who was of the greatest disbelievers to live on the earth, and that of Aisha radiallahu anha and Khadija, and others from the Prophet's wives and others from the women of the Sahaba. So therefore seeking a good name for the daughter is an important action that builds about confidence and so forth. The Shaykh Hafizahullah then continued by saying, seeking a righteous husband for her, for your daughter, is also extremely important and is one of the rights that your daughter has over you. Women who are given in marriage to a righteous husband shall have and possess righteousness and goodness. In fact, the Shaykh mentioned that the woman is upon the deen, is upon the way of her husband, the way and path and the religious, the same type of religious adherence that her husband may be upon. And this is due to the commonality of the situation. She will be one who follows him in this attitude. And therefore the Shaykh reminds us that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he show mercy to a man who wakes his wife in the middle of the night and reminds her to pray, meaning pray night prayers. And when she refuses to wake up, he lightly sprays her face with water until she wakes up and joins him in prayer. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy to a woman who wakes up in the middle of the night and wakes her husband to pray, and if he refuses, she sprays some water on his face to wake him up. As well, we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to Ali and his daughter and the daughter of the Messenger, meaning the wife of Ali, Fatima radiallahu anha, and say to them, as he once knocked in the middle of the night on their home, and say, are you not up praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Showing you the importance of a man and woman coming together in prayer. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't just speaking to one or to one of them, he was speaking to the both of them. And therefore you see that it is from the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when a person gets married, of the first acts he does before he has any relations with his wife or cohabitation with his wife, is that he leads her in a 2 rak'ah prayer. And from that moment it becomes something that is natural, that they both come into the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala their submission to Him. And they pray 2 rak'ah together before the cohabitation. And then the Shaykh Hafizahullah further went on and mentioned that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a young man comes to you, or if a man comes to you seeking your daughter or seeking someone that you are responsible for in marriage, and you are satisfied and content by his trustworthiness and his religiousness, then give him in marriage to your daughter, فَزَوُّجُوهُ, or to whomever he has come seeking. For if you do not do so, there shall be a large state of harm and a large spread of harm that will spread throughout the land. Therefore the Shaykh is reminding you of the importance of our duties to our daughters, from their giving them good name and from teaching them and making sure that we find for them those who are righteous and those who will lead them to the correct path, those who are seeking knowledge, those who want to learn and want to teach, those who will be sources of strength and adherence and conviction, that the woman and that the young daughter and that the wife will see and look up to and follow in his righteous practice.
ومن حق هذه المرأة زوجة من حقها على زوجها أن يحسن عشرتها وأن يكون رفيقا بها لطيفا بها رحيما بها وأن يكون خيرا معها لا يبخل عليها بالنفقة ولا يؤذيها لا بيده ولا بلسانه ولا بهجره لها خارج البيت لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على فراش موته وهو يوصي الرجال بالنساء خيرا استوصوا بالنساء خيرا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام خيركم لأهله وأنا خيركم لأهلي واشتد غضبه على بعض الصحابة الذين كانوا يضربون زوجاتهم فقد طاف ببيوت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نحو من 70 امرأة كلهن يشتكين أزواجهن الضرب اجتمعن أمام بيت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يشتكين أزواجهن الضرب فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أصحابه وقال لقد طاف ببيوت آل محمد نحو من 70 امرأة يشتكين أزواجهن الضرب لا تجدون أولئك خياركم يعني الذين يضربون نساءهم وقد كتبت كتابا وهو موجود في المعرض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في بيته وهو باللغة العربية وترجم إلى الإنجليزية فصلت فيه ما يجب على الرجل تجاه أهله في بيته وما هي أخلاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم في داخل بيته مع أهله مع أزواجه مع أبنائه لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو قدوتنا وهو أسوتنا والذي يجب على هذه المرأة تجاه زوجها أيضا أن تغض الطرف إلا عن زوجها وفي وصف وقد مدح الله عز وجل نساء أهل الجنة أنهن قاصرات الطرف أي لا ينظرن إلى غير أزواجهن فالمرأة المسلمة لا يعدو نظرها زوجها فإذا حدثتها نفسها بأن تنظر إلى غير زوجها فهذه خيانة هذه خيانة عياذا بالله وهذه ستؤدي بها إلى أن تصنع المشاكل والاضطرابات لزوجها ليكون ذلك مبررا له لطلاقها فهي تفتعل المشاكل وأقول هذا لأني أعلم أن هذه البلاد بلاد كفر وفساد وكثيرا ما تحدث التطليقات والمخالعات فالمرأة قد تطلب المخالعة من زوجها لأتفه الأسباب لأنها سئمته أو ملته وهذا لا يقره الإسلام بل إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخبر أن المختلعات هن المنافقات المرأة التي تطلب الخلع من زوجها من غير سبب من غير ضرورة من غير انحراف منه في عقيدة ومنهج وسلوك من غير أن يؤذيها أو يقصر في النفقة عليها فهذه من أمارات النفاق عياذا بالله فعلى المرأة المسلمة أن تتشبث ببيتها أن تتشبث بأبنائها أن تتشبث بزوجها وأن تقيم أسرة مسلمة تكون سببا في دخولها الجنة
The Shaykh Hafizahullah continued by saying it is also important that the husbands show mercy, kindness, clemency, pardoning, generosity to their wives. And this is from the dictates of Al-Islam. And they are not to harm their wives with either their tongue or their hand. And that they do not abandon the home when they are in a state of, when they have had an argument. That the Muslim man should not leave his home and reside outside while he is in a state of anger from his wife. As was taught to us, all of this taught to us by the Messenger Muhammad ﷺ. And we know when we established that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly would order the Muslim men to show clemency and kindness and love to their wives. In fact, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you is the best of you to his family, meaning his wives. And then to make it clear, he says, and I am the best of you in relation to my family. We know that at one time, 70 or more or less, and slightly more or less, 70 women from amongst the Sahaba went and visited each of the Prophet ﷺ's homes, coming to search for him, to find him, seeking and complaining that their husbands were abusive to them, that their husbands struck them. And this immediately caused the Rasul ﷺ to stand up and address the issue. He left his home and he stood up in front of the companions and he said, 70, close to 70 more or less, have come and have passed around the homes of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them complaining of the abuse and the harm that their husbands inflict upon them physically and so forth. You shall not find those who do these deeds from the best amongst you. Meaning that those who perform these deeds are not from those who have attained the goodness of the faith. And therefore the Shaykh reminds you on a side note that he has written a book and alhamdulillah has been translated in English. And it's already published, and in fact you will find in the bookstore or downstairs in the lobby. It's called The Prophet ﷺ and How He Was in His Home. The Prophet and His Home. And in it the Shaykh has gathered many of the different scenarios showing how the Rasul ﷺ would remedy certain things, how the Rasul ﷺ would treat his wife, how the Rasul ﷺ would give advice, how he would take advice and so forth from his wife as well sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of these things were addressed by the Shaykh Hafidhahullah in the blessed book. I think there is the Arabic, there's the Arabic one, and there's also the English translation present. So you can pick up one or both of them, inshaAllah, and you will find a great deal of benefit in it. As well, the Shaykh mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the greatest role model, and being the best example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given all of humanity, he therefore laid the best example in how we are to deal with our wives and so forth. And this shows the importance of learning the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so we can use its dictates in our day-to-day lives. We also know that the Shaykh mentioned it is important to know that the Muslim woman who looks to other men other than her husband and compares her husband to them is one who has entered into sin. And in fact this is a source of khiyana. This is a source where she is cheating on him, because it forces him to feel a state where he is feeling insignificant. And therefore it is a sin for the Muslim woman to look and to the virtuous deeds of men other than her husband. She's not to be admiring other men. And we know that this is totally improper and totally uncalled for, as the Shaykh Hafidhahullah has explained. And we know the problems that are found in multitude in these Western lands and in these countries where you reside. And they stem many times from this problem. Many times they stem from this problem. And you will see that many of the women who seek to have khulla, where they seek to remove themselves from the marital situation that they are in with their husband, that is one of the key reasons that they seek. She feels that she has had enough, or that there is no longer any source of happiness or pleasure or whatever it may be, that there may be someone better out there for her, so therefore why stay in this situation? So she seeks to have khulla, seeking to dissolve the marital situation. And we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that of the signs of hypocrisy, of the signs that is found exclusively in women, is that there are women who seek to have khulla, al-mukhtali'at, the women who seek to have khulla for an unjustifiable reason, such as this one the Shaykh is mentioning, hunna al-munafiqat, they are the hypocrites, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The woman who seeks to make khulla for an invalid reason, she is na'am, she is the one who is of hypocrisy, the one who seeks to make khulla without a valid or a good reason, as the Shaykh mentioned. And therefore we advise the Muslim sister that she is to put all of her love and all of her attachments and all of her care and all of her emotional attachments to her household, to her husband, to her children, and in that there will lie the success for the worldly life and the hereafter.
ومن حفظ الإسلام للمرأة زوجة أن أمر الزوج أن يتقي الله عز وجل فيها ويحسن عشرتها فيمسكها بمعروف أو يسرحها بإحسان إن وقع الشقاق والنزاع بينهما وأيضا أن يتقي الله في زوجاته فأن يعدل بينهن إذا كان عنده أكثر من زوجة فلا ينفق على هذه ويحرم هذه ولا يبيت في فراش هذه ويهجر هذه بل يعطي كل ذي حق حقه كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل وخصوصا في القسمة الظاهرة التي سيسأل عنها أما فيما يتعلق بميل القلب هذه أكثر من تلك فهذا أمر ما لا يكلف الله عز وجل الرجل فيه ما لا يقدر لأن القلوب بين يدي الله ولكنه يعطي كل ذي حق حقه فيما في القسمة التي أمره الله عز وجل بها كذلك عليه أن يعدل بين أبنائه لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اتقوا الله واعدلوا بين أبنائكم وأما حفظ الإسلام للمرأة أما فقد أمر ببرها والإحسان إليها والقيام على خدمتها وأعطاها ثلاثة أضعاف ما أعطى الأب من البر والرعاية أمك 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 ثم قال له أبوك فلذلك الأم تعطى الأب يعطى ثلث البر والأم تعطى ثلاثة أثلاث البر لأن هي التي حملت وهي التي وضعت وهي التي أرضعت وهي التي قامت وسهرت الليالي الطوال على هذا الابن وعلى تلك البنت ولذلك الإسلام رعى الوالدين خصوصا الأم عند كبرهما وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رغم أنف امرئ أدرك أبويه عند الكبر أو أحدهما فلم يدخلاه الجنة قال الله تعالى إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما بل قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأحد الصحابة إلزم قدمها يعني أمه إلزم قدمها فتم الجنة وقال لصحابي آخر أراد الجهاد قال هل لك من أبوين قال نعم قال ففيهما فجاهد لذلك لا تجدي أيتها الأخت المسلمة دينا أكرمك كدين الإسلام ولا دينا رعاك كدين الإسلام ولا دينا رفعك وأعلى رحمك الله من شأنك وقدرك كدين الإسلام فلا تستمعي إلى الناعقين بالباطل وإلى دعاة تحرير المرأة بل هم يريدون تحريرها من الدين تحريرها من الأخلاق تحريرها من العفة تحريرها من الفضيلة حتى تغدو المرأة المسلمة كالمرأة الكافرة لا ترد يد لامس لا ترد يد لامس يجعلونها للدعايات على النعال وعلى الدهان وعلى الخشب وعلى السيارات وعلى كل شيء أصبحت المرأة في الغرب مبتذلة إنما هي سلعة يروجون بها السلع حتى ولو كانت تافهة وأصبحت عياذا بالله فقط لقضاء الحاجة فلا يحترمونها إلا وهي في شبابها جميلة نضرة أما إذا تقدم هذه السن تغير جمالها وذبل حسنها فإنهم يلقونها كما تلقى النواة أما الإسلام فإنه أكرمها طفلة أكرمها شابة أكرمها بنتا أكرمها زوجة أكرمها أما أكرمها جدة أكرمها حتى مماتها وبعد مماتها فهذا هو الإسلام وهذه تعاليمه وهذا هو عدله فعلينا أيها الأخوات أن نعتز بإسلامنا جميعا وأن نتمسك بهذا الإسلام وأن نظهر محاسن الله لكي ننقذ هؤلاء التائهين الضالين من الكافرين وممن تشبه بهم من حيار المسلمين نسأل الله لنا ولكنا التوفيق والسداد إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد
بارك الله فيك. The Shaykh حفظه الله then concluded his discussion with you by stating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you have heard, orders the husband to fear him. That he is not to hold her captive. He is either to live with her in a state of goodness, or he is to allow her to have her own way and to let her go with pardon and kindness. We are not those who are oppressive in any of these shapes, in any shape, way or form. And we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has made this clear in different places as well. So therefore the Muslim husband is to be just, and especially if he has more than one wife. The Muslim husband who has more than one wife, he's to be just in dealing with the both of them. He's not to give wealth in preference to one over the other. He's not to give an extra night in preference to one over the other. He is not to give extra visits to one over the other. He is not to purchase things for one over the other. He is not to give a standard fare for one over the other. Though these physical, tangible things, that he is to show complete justice to the best of his ability. As for the matters of the heart, as to whom he internally loves best, that is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold him to account for. But what he loves in the heart should not influence or cloud his judgment in how he deals with the Muslim woman, his wife, one of the wives, giving her, putting forth to her that which she is deserving of. And the Shaykh hafizahullah, he continued by saying, everyone is to be given that which they are deserving of, and this includes as well your children. You should not show preference to one child over the other. And we know that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, fear Allah and be just in how you disperse and distribute things, or in how you deal with your children, not just the wives. So this is something that is known to us from the sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh hafizahullah also continued by saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have given great honor to the Muslim woman. They have honored her in all different types and in all of the different categories and faculties of her life, from young to old. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Muslim woman 3/4 more preference to that of the Muslim father in many of the important issues. We know the famous hadith where the man said, asking the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most worthy of my companionship, meaning his love as well. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 3 times, your mother, your mother, your mother, and then he mentioned the father. And this is in no way something that lessens the importance of the father, rather it shows the importance of the mother. Knowing that the mother is the one who carried the child, knowing that the mother is the one who labored in delivering the child, she is the one who nurtures the child, breastfed the child, she is the one who took care of the child from his young age to his old age, she is the one who worried about him even in his old age. These are all things that give preference to the Muslim woman as a mother. As well, we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does not earn paradise, the one who does not earn paradise, while having one or both of his parents in old age, therefore this is something that is a ruin and a loss for him. Also we know that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to another one of the Sahaba, when he asked him if he wanted to go to the jihad, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, are any of your parents alive? He said yes and replied in the affirmative. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in them or with them, in your dealing with them, and in your staying beside them and helping them and showing them righteousness and love, then this is where your jihad should lie. As well, we see that one of the Sahaba, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, at the foot of your mother is the way to Al-Jannah, meaning by being kind to your mother, you will find that there will be an easy road made for you to lead you to Al-Jannah. Also, we know that the Shaykh hafizahullah, he mentions to us that the Muslim woman should be completely aware of the plots and the plans of those who disbelieve and those who seek to give her so-called freedom. The Shaykh mentioned those who seek to give her so-called freedom, freedom from her chastity, freedom from her honor, freedom from her protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her, freedom from the honor of Islam and the honor of al-hijab. This is what they seek to remove from her. They wish to put her up on a block as a selling utensil, whether it is selling a car or selling a drink or selling any of these things that they have in the market, thus making the woman as a garment in and of her, as a commodity in and of herself, selling her as a commodity, knowing that once she has reached a certain age where she is no longer considered youthful, when she is no longer considered glamorous, she is traded in for a newer model. And this is something that the Sheikh mentioned, that the Muslim woman has been protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. Islam honors the Muslim woman as a mother. Islam honors the Muslim woman as a daughter. Islam honors the Muslim woman as a sister and a wife. Islam honors the Muslim woman in all of the different avenues and faculties of life. And therefore the Muslim woman should have and know the value that Al-Islam has for her. And therefore she should reciprocate and show the value that she has for Al-Islam. For once you show that you have value and love for your religion and the true religion of Al-Islam, you will be a source of benefit for others when you call them to the true faith. Because they will recognize the thing that you have been given, this faith that you have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something that you would not trade for any other thing. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah paused here and ended his discussion with us, his short introduction in his discussion to the sisters. We shall now deal with some of the questions for the next 5, 10, 15 or 20 minutes, depending on what the brothers assess as being the allotted amount of time. So we shall begin with some of the questions from the sisters. Su'al al-awwal, the sister says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the first question, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. She says, does Markaz al-Albani in Jordan allow women to attend the courses as well? If so, how do I find full details regarding this issue?
بالنسبة لمركز الألباني والدورات القائمة بالنسبة للعرب وغير العرب هل يجوز أو هل تسمح بالتحاق الأخوات إلى هذه الدورات؟
نحن ذكرنا في الإعلان أنه سيكون هناك مجال للأخوات إذا كان معهن المحرم، لأنه لابد للمرأة أن تسافر بالمحرم، والمرأة إذا سافرت بلا محرم فهي آثمة، لا يجوز لها أن تسافر للحج بلا محرم. لا شك أن طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم ويدخل فيه المسلمة، ولكن لا بد من وجود المحرم من زوج، من أب، من أخ، من عم، من خال، تقيم معه هناك، وحينئذ سيكون هذا مقبولا لها. أما أن تذهب بلا محرم عاصية لذلك ربها، فهذا نحن من شرطنا أن يتوفر المحرم.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah answers by saying, we allow Muslim sisters to attend the seminars that we hold in Jordan at Markaz al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, but we stipulate that there is a requirement that the Muslim woman is not to travel there and she's not to reside there without a mahram. If this is the case, she would not be allowed to attend. So therefore the Muslim woman must have a mahram, whether it's an uncle or an uncle, paternal or maternal, from the father or the mother's side, who will travel with her, a brother, a husband, a son, and things of this nature, then she would be allowed. Knowing that the Sheikh mentioned to us that if a woman doesn't have a mahram, she cannot even travel to Hajj. So this is something that is serious. It is haram for the Muslim woman to travel without a mahram and to remain in a foreign land where she does not have anyone who would be there looking after her. Although we recognize that the Messenger ﷺ says that it is compulsory for every person, for every Muslim, to seek knowledge, and this includes the Muslim woman in this statement. But it is important that we establish that the woman is allowed to come if she has a mahram who will be attending to her needs, traveling with her and back to where she is arriving from. The sister is asking, could you please give us advice on how to increase our knowledge of the religion.
تقوينا أختي في العلوم الإسلامية والدينية أن تتعلم اللغة العربية أولا، أن هذا القرآن نزل بالعربي وهذه الأحاديث بلسان العربي، والترجمة ترجمات كثيرة خاطئة، ترجمة لا تعطي المعنى الشامل والمعنى الصحيح، إنما تعطي المعنى التقريبي. لذلك تتعلمين اللغة العربية، تتعلمين كيف تقرأين القرآن، تحاولين أن تحفظي أجزاء من القرآن، وتدربين على التلاوة الصحيحة للقرآن، تعلمين الفقه، الحديث، العقيدة، أصول الشريعة، وبالتالي إن شاء الله تطالعين الكتب وتدرسين، ويكون لك مشاركة مع أخواتك النساء، حينئذ إن شاء الله سيكون لك نصيب في العلم، مع بالطبع الإخلاص في طلب العلم والتوجه إلى الله والدعاء والصدق وهذا والتفرغ، وهذا إن شاء الله يكون سبب، ومن الأسباب القوية أيضا أن يكون زوجك أو من يتقدم لخطبتك إن لم تكوني متزوجة أن يكون طالب علم أيضا، فهو يعينك على ذلك.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers this important question by stating that the Muslim woman who seeks to gain and further herself in the study of Islam and to seek knowledge, it's first important for her, the first thing that she should stress and seek to develop first is to learn the Arabic language. The Sheikh mentions, and I concur, that translations, no matter how good they are only giving you the meaning of what has been said. They are not giving you the literal terms that have been said. No matter how good the translation will be, there's always something that is lacking. Nothing shall be faithful. And therefore it's important to learn the Arabic language so that you are attaining the source directly. And in learning the Arabic language, you will then be able to have ease in learning how to recite the Qur'an and understand it. And that will give you ease in learning how to memorize the Qur'an. And that will be something that will allow you to gain fiqh, the studies of hadith, the studies of the foundations of Sharia and so forth, and that will then allow you to begin to have your own private readings in the matters, to learn some of the different things and have joint discussions with other like-minded sisters and learn together. And the Sheikh says it's important not to forget that we all must have ikhlas when we are seeking this, we have sincerity, that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have this tawajjuh to Allah, and that we make dua and we seek and we invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, and that we have sidq, that we have truthfulness in the words that we deal with others, and truthfulness in what it is that we are seeking. This Muslim sister, she says, O Shaykh, I am a blind Muslim sister who wants to begin memorizing some of the Qur'an. Because I have difficulty in traveling, I would like to know which is the best Qur'an tape with clear pronunciation that I can use to aid me in my learning of the recitation of the Qur'an.
بمجموعة شرائط منضبطة تستمع إليها وتحفظ منها.
عليها أن تأخذ المصحف المعلم،
نعم،
الشيخ القصري،
نعم،
والمصحف المعلم الشيخ عبد الباري محمد،
نعم،
والمصحف الشيخ الحديدي.
The Sheikh حفظه الله answers the question by mentioning the three most the three reciters of the Qur'an that he feels are the best for this, by stating that you should get the copy of the Qur'an, the tapes that are titled Al-Mushaf Al-Mu'allim, the teaching set of tapes of the Qur'an by one of these three reciters, either Al-Sheikh Al-Husari, who the Sheikh mentioned first, or Abdul Muhsin Al-Bari, Abdul Bari Muhammad, or Ali, Sheikh Ali Al-Hudayfi. One of the three, Al-Husari, Abdul Bari Muhammad, or Al-Hudaiti. The Sheikh also mentioned that when he was in the U.S., there are also a set of tapes, and some of the tapes here that were done here may be also of benefit, wherein he recited in a slow tone, bringing about the proper pronunciations of the makharij of the huruf for the people, so that you can acquire some of that in a slow, easy to learn mode. He reminds you of this. I add to the translation of the question of the previous question, the Sheikh also mentioned that for the Muslim sister who wants to seek knowledge, it would also be beneficial for her to seek a brother who has a certain amount of knowledge that she can learn from in his process of learning as well. Concerning purifying your intention, how do you go about doing this? Is there any specific method?
أن يطرد النوايا السيئة وأن يريد بعمله وجه الله عز وجل أن يدعو الله ويستغفر الله إذا طرأت عليه نوايا سيئة ويراقب قلبه ونيته ويسأل ربه عز وجل أن يشرح صدره للخير.
The Shaykh Hafizahullah answers by saying, for the one who seeks to have and purify his intention first, he must ensure that what he is intending is something that is valid and acceptable, and not to intend to commit a sin that is contrary to what is proper and what is righteous. And also, if the person has intended to do something improper, that they should turn to Allah, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for intending to do evil or performing it. Also, the Shaykh said that there should be muraqabah, meaning that you recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full account of all that you do. You recognize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a watcher over you, and that the deeds you perform are to be sincerely and only to Him. In so doing, you will be of those who will purify your intention. Is it permissible to learn the Arabic language from a Shia?
هل يجوز عن اللغة العربية من شيعي؟
لا لأن الشيعي لا يريد خيرا للسنة فيفسد عليه دينه وخلقه.
نعم. The Shaykh answers the question by saying that the Muslim who is Sunni, who is upon the correct path of understanding the Sunnah of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, should not turn to the Shia in learning Arabic and things of this nature. He should not turn to the Shia in seeking to acquire this from them, because we know that the internal intentions of the Shia towards the Sunni are ulterior. They do not have good intention for the Sunni. So it is better to find a Sunni teacher who you can learn from and not subjugate yourself to them.